This is Wayne McLean, and we say good morning to you. A Friday, thank goodness. Today we have an issue that has dominated the news over the past number of months and in past times as well. We're going to talk about pornography today, its influence, its presence, what harmful effects does pornography have on a society generally. Now, I want to say at the beginning, we're not just going to talk about the Playboy issue. That may come up, but as you know, if you're a regular listener to the program, we have dealt with that on several occasions. However, if you still want to comment on it, that's okay, but we're more interested in pornography on a much wider scale, the various areas or locales of its presence, and as I mentioned a moment ago, what is this material as depicted in film, if you will, or in various magazines, what kind of an effect is it having on us, our children, our society, and indeed the entire nation? Now, today we're delighted to have with us two people to talk about this issue. First of all, Dr. Gail Hutchinson, who is a psychologist at the University of Western Ontario. Dr. Hutchinson is also past president of the London Status of Women Action Group. And so, from her standpoint, we'll be listening to some points of view that she has to offer with regard to the question of pornography and the women's movement and how they react to this type of material. Also today, on the other side of the issue, if I can say that, is Robert Metz, who is the president of the London Unparty Riding Association, founded back in 1980. This party is a supporter of individual rights and a free economy, and it tends in many areas to be libertarian, so that's a little background on both of our guests this morning. And as always, we invite you to participate. Question is this: is pornography a dangerous influence in our society? We'll be hearing some comments from Dr. Gail Hutchinson in just a moment, as well as Robert Metz. Our telephone number is 433-3121. It never changes. It's always the same. But this is going to be an interesting program, and we do want your input. And what I would like you to do now is, if you have a comment about pornography and its influences and some of the issues involved, secure yourself a place right now. We're going to talk to Dr. Hutchinson. We're going to talk to Mr. Metz, and then we're going to go to the phones. 433-3121. Call now, get yourself a place. You'll be able to hear the program while you're on hold, and we'll be back with some comments about the issue of pornography. Is pornography a dangerous influence in our society?
This is the Wayne McLean Talk Show. To join the conversation, call 433-3121. Out of town, call collect. 433-3121. Call now. You're listening to CFPL's Wayne McLean. The number to call is 433-3121.
Dr. Hutchinson, welcome to the talk show. It's good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And Robert Metz, welcome. Nice to have you aboard this morning.
Morning, Wayne.
The issue is pornography. It's not just the stuff on Playboy, on First Choice, although that may be part of our discussion today, but it's pornography in general in our society. Dr. Hutchinson, there is a lot of comment from the women's groups about degradation, humiliation, using women as sex objects. There's a lot of discussion as well in terms of softcore, hardcore, smut, or not smut, but snuff. Some people may think it's all smut, snuff films, violence. And I'd like to ask you, let me tell you what impression I get at times from the women's groups is a lack of distinction among the various formats of erotica, pornography, whatever you want to call it. Suddenly we're going from Playboy or Penthouse magazine to snuff films or S&M books, or and I just wonder if you're not you yourself, but representatives from women's groups mixing all of these different things together, and suddenly we think of Playboy as people are getting whipped or raped. What do you think? Could you not distinguish more carefully?
I understand the confusion that people have, and I recognize that. It would be much easier if we would just talk about the violent types of pornography that are escalating every day, by the way. It would make it clearer, and then we wouldn't get all the liberal people quite upset with us. But the fact is that Penthouse, Playboy are dangerous also, and they're the ones that started this whole process, as you well know. The philosophy behind it, so to speak, came from Playboy and Penthouse, and they're they have a advertising format and a really slick way of presenting things, so it becomes acceptable to almost all of us, fight, and it becomes a part of our culture, which makes it in some senses more dangerous, because it tells lies about women.
Okay, what are some of the lies that Playboy or Penthouse would tell?
It tells lies that we are less than human, that we really are objects, and that our sexuality is wishing to be submissive to men, that men are the dominant force, and that sex between men and women is about power, not about mutuality or about concern, and that has serious implications for all of us. And they go to a lot of effort to do that, and it also is not innocent with respect to child pornography. Since 1971 has had a campaign.
Now this is Playboy Penthouse.
Absolutely.
Because these are the two most popular.
In a very slick.
I've never seen
advertising way.
I've never seen children
if you
depicted.
Would look at their cartoons and their jokes. They started off and they've had hundreds of jokes and cartoons about incest and child molestation. You know, the infamous one of the young child who says, "You call that being molested?" to the old man. That kind of thing. They also have had pictures of their models dressed up as little girls with teddy bears saying, "Come on, Daddy, I really want you to give it to me." That kind of format.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't come right out with the hardcore stuff, but the message is there, and it's the same, and the message hits all of us that we're moving to younger and younger children. Also, you cannot say these magazines don't have any form of violence. It's a subtle form, and it's been escalating. It's still only about 10% of these magazines, but it's there. And of course, we see it in advertising.
Can you give me an example of violence in the popular?
In the popular. Well, they had a
erotica,
picture of,
if you will.
Of Bo Derek some time ago, tied to a tree with a whip, one of those cat of nine tails, that kind of thing.
It's a Zorro or something, yeah.
But that's violence, right? I mean, the connection with the whip, and she's tied to the tree, and she's naked, that kind of imagery.
Would you object so much if Rembrandt had painted a nude tied to a tree with a piece of rope? Would you be upset?
Well, that's always what people try to bring out, is that we're going to... interfere with some artistic
or a
Gauguin
process.
Or this is not art. You know, we're not talking about
art. But isn't that in the mind of the beholder?
No, I don't.
You
I
don't
think that's
so.
Always. It's really interesting when women are talking about propaganda that's there that interferes with our freedom. That's the only group that society starts bringing up all these issues. What about erotica? What about artistic stuff? They'd never bring it up if it was a particular religious group or racial group saying, "Hey, we don't want to be called niggers," or "We don't want to be called this." You know, they wouldn't say, "Hey, wait a minute, you might interfere with some artistic depiction of this." I think it's pretty easy within the context of what's going on. One has to look at the context that these are in. When it's in a Playboy magazine, the context is not art. Right. It's not an art magazine. It's not about art.
Would you say in your view, or are you saying that in an absolute sense?
In an absolute sense, because of what is the philosophy of Playboy? What's going on there? What are they saying to us? And I understand, I fully recognize the difficulty in trying to come to that. I'm a liberal person. I grew up with the left-wing notions. Women get caught in the middle of the left and the right. We belong to neither camp. And each one tries to claim us at one point or another, but we're not one or the other. We can't, because the left-wing liberal men say, "Well, this is freedom of sexual expression." Okay, but it interferes with our freedom, in as being seen as human beings, and certainly our freedom to be able to walk the streets as seen as decent human beings. It interferes with that freedom.
Dr. Hutchinson is a psychologist at the University of Western Ontario with the Department of Counseling and Career Development. She is also a past president of the London Status of Women Action Group. Also with us today is Mr. Robert Metz, who is the president of the London Unparty Writing Association. Mr. Metz, what do you think about all of this? Are we indeed saying that this stuff has to be banned or stopped or some way? And are we, as a result of that, saying that somebody's freedom here is to be encroached upon? And if so, is freedom really a legitimate concept? Because don't these women have rights as well?
Well, certainly everyone has rights. And to distinguish between male rights and female rights is to begin with, a contradiction in terms.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one type of right that exists, that's an individual right. It's an individual right to free choice in matters of morality, of interpretation of any material that one may read, of availability of that material. The argument that, certainly I am not a left-wing liberal man. To me, the term left-wing and liberal are two contradictory terms. Liberal in the past used to mean an atmosphere of freedom and free choice. Left wing, with its accompanying association with socialism, is more towards the collective rather than the individual choice. That's something that our party certainly is opposed to.
Okay, I don't want to so much promote the particular party as your feelings with reference to the issue. You talk about free choice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the free choice being diminished as a result of any movement or any women's group to try and either curtail this material or to bring it under tighter control? How is choice being diminished?
Okay, you ask, is pornography a dangerous influence in society?
That's the general question.
I would say yes, if it leads to censorship. If the protests against pornography lead to censorship. With all the supposed dangers that are presented by pornography, one thing that is ignored is the dangers presented by censorship. It's very easy to see the desired effect of censorship. It's not so easy to see the other effects caused by censorship, many of which run contrary to the very goals that are being advocated by groups like the one that Dr. Gail Hutchison represents.
What about snuff films? Certainly these cannot be allowed to exist, and yet I get the feeling from some of the things you say that, that's part of free choice. What about child porn? I mean, doesn't there have to be something somewhere by someone or some group of people, duly elected or whatever, or somebody in the community that has to say, look, enough is enough. We want to go in and buy a quart of milk without having to look at some woman's rear end or breasts.
Well, you know, this comes back down to the concept of an individual right. And what some people fail to realize is what an individual right is. You know, you're talking about snuff films and child porn in the same vein as you're talking about consensual adult pornography, which is an entirely different matter.
No, I'm not doing that in the same breath. I'm just trying to say there has to be a point where there is some sort of censorship or some regulation.
I wouldn't call it censorship. There's a big difference in child porn, for example, because that is a violation of a right. And child pornography, as a result, just becomes a depiction of that violation. Certainly the state has every right to act in a case like that. But where you're talking about consensual adults, regardless of what activity they are involved in, the state has no right in that matter if we are to continue to call ourselves a free society.
Again, you're talking about rights, and let me ask you, Dr. Hutchison talks, and in much of the material I've read where she has been involved with the women's movement, that what about the rights of women generally? Don't women have the right not to see themselves depicted in various publications as you put it, sex objects, implied violence, what have you? Don't women have that right not to?
You see, here's a big moral vacuum that's in our society today. We have failed at some point in our history to deal with issues on an individual basis. We've gone to the collective again. You're asking, don't women have the right not to see themselves? You're talking about a collective group. Certainly an individual woman is not forced to participate in any activity of the sort. And when they constantly collectivize every single group, men versus women, they're failing to recognize that these are all individuals, all with their own interests. I think a lot of what has been said about pornography by the anti-porn groups is largely misrepresentative. They, while they're talking about the stereotyping of women.
Give us an example why you think it's misrepresented.
Well, for example, for starters, they don't make distinctions, as you already point out. They do not make a distinction, in addition to the one you pointed out, between real violence and artificially portrayed violence. They make a number of misleading statements, such as indicating that 80% of the hardcore pornography that is available is child porn, which is just not the truth.
That's not what they're saying. They're saying 80% that's available has to do with violence, if I followed what you're...
Hardcore, yeah.
But
yeah.
That's not true either.
Okay, yeah. And how do you know that? That 80...
A social scientist who's one of the leading researchers in pornography, Dr. Donnerstein, said that.
But you just accept that?
You just accept a statement like that? And 80%
of
what market?
I don't accept just a statement of that. The man does research. So I accept research. And I have read all of his research, and he is not associated with any women's group, so he needn't be held in suspicion.
My question to you is, there is a lot of research that shows the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for one side to pick research supporting their side, another side to support some research supporting another side.
I don't pick research. I pick the top researcher in the field, which is Ed Donnerstein.
In your view?
No, he is the top researcher in pornography. There's no doubt.
I was surprised to see it, if I could say, Dr. Hutchinson, mm-hmm. that 80% of hardcore is violent, that 25% of the market, and you're talking about a $4 billion market or something like that. I don't know where these come from, but according to you, 25% of that deals with child porn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a prude, and I'm not going to set myself up as one who has never seen this material. I have seen this material. I have not seen, and this is just a personal view, I have not seen 80% of hardcore. I'm talking the triple X that is violent, unless your definition of violence is...
We're not just talking about magazines here. We're talking about
movies as well, sure.
The really interesting thing about this is I find it hard that people would even argue against that, because the violent element has entered into the ordinary films we see on the street every day. I mean, the films that aren't X-rated or anything.
Sure, I know what you mean.
But really kind of pornographic violence. You know, it's women being slashed up, connecting women's sexuality with violence is an incredibly escalating phenomenon, which is what terrifies us. What is going on here? Why what I'm suggesting is that there's connections between all of this stuff.
But do those connections justify the type of action that you're taking? You see, censorship, you're moving away from individual responsibility. When you go to censorship, you're telling every person that they don't have a right to see something because perhaps some segment of society cannot handle it, which may well be true.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe in social justice. I believe in individual justice.
Mm-hmm.
When you are saying that pornography, for example, makes men violent, you are just, again, pushing that image that men are not in control, that it's the woman's fault again because men can't control themselves. The responsibility gets thrown back on the woman again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're saying by advocating censorship.
I'm not sure what he's saying, pushing it back on the women again. Nobody says that somebody reading a particular piece of pornography then that automatically leads to violence. What we are saying is pornography is all part, you know, you have to put it in the framework of the rest of the things that go on in society. We cannot just deal with rape and battering and other kinds of forms of violence and child molestation and incest and not deal with what is becoming a major force in society that creates a culture in which these things are acceptable, in which judges in Alberta can say if a woman goes to a man's apartment at night, she should expect to be raped, you know. It's within this
and
whole culture.
This is the case, for the sake of the audience, where the sentence of a rapist was halved because the woman, at the behest of the man, went to apparently, allegedly smoke marijuana and drink some beer.
Right.
Okay, just for the sake of human. Listen, we're going to have to pause for commercials. Some interesting points from both sides here, and I want to give the callers an opportunity to express themselves as well. If you'd like to make a comment to either Dr. Hutchinson or Robert Metz, you feel free to do that. If you just want to make a general comment on this question of pornography, by all means do so. 433-3121 is the number. If you're out of town, we invite you to make it a collect call. We'll pay the shot. And if you're a first-time caller, mention that to Jeff, would you please, when you do call? And of course, as always, if you want to be anonymous, that's all right too. 433-3121. Be anonymous, but do tell that to Jeff if that is the case. Some messages and we'll be back. Really? We're just talking about with Dr. Hutchinson about the movie 48 Hours, and that's another, well, it's part of the discussion, I guess, in terms of violence, and we'll get into that. All right, if you're just tuning in now, Dr. Gail Hutchinson with me. She is the past president of the London Status of Women Action Group. Mr. Robert Metz is with the UN Party. It is a party that stresses individual rights, a free economy, and in many of its ideas is libertarian. And we're talking today about this question, is pornography a dangerous influence in our society? Thank you for waiting, Bob. You've been most kind. Go right ahead, please.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say that I abhor the tactics and what I consider to be irresponsible presumptions the small group of ivory tower elitists use to enlist support for their cause, made up mainly half-truths and misconceptions.
Can you give us a specific example so our guests can comment to you? Who are you talking about, Mr. Metz or Dr. Hutchinson?
No, I'm talking about Dr. Hutchinson.
Okay, give me a specific, could you, Bob?
Yes, I can. I think that Dr. Hutchinson is not representative of the great majority of this country. I think that what their cause does is overlook the real causes of violence. I believe they've gotten so wrapped up in this women's movement that everything today is an affront to women that they are forgetting the greatest affront of all is freedom of choice. If we sacrifice freedom of choice or censorship, as Mr. Metz was talking about, that's a tremendous step to take, and I think it has to be justified, and I don't think you can draw on one psychiatric or sociologist's opinion. There's certainly diversified views as to what pornography is. I think it's such a minimal amount of importance on the subject that it's getting far more airplay than it should. The real causes of...
Well, Bob, I don't mean to interrupt you. Just one quick comment. It's the pornography or erotica or whatever is really everywhere in terms of corner stores, etc. So I think it's something that is not as... Oh, off in the corner, as you're suggesting, and I think that we in the media have a responsibility to talk about it. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I agree. I agree there's a responsibility to talk about it, and dialogue on the subject is, you know, is good. But I think the real causes of violence have been evident for years, that socioeconomic problems, certainly not pornography. You can go to the ghettos of New York or the major cities in North America, and you'll see prostitution and violence. You can't convince me, or I don't think the majority of this population, that pornography had anything to do with that violence.
Let's give Dr. Hutchinson a chance to respond.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we're talking about violence against women, and to say that doesn't have part of us, isn't the result of a sexist culture, is ludicrous. The second thing, I think might be helpful to give my particular opinion and the opinion... You know, there's no final answer on this issue of censorship, but some of the work that is coming out now... We feel that censorship should be there for violence and sex, for women being depicted, brutalized, raped, murdered, and liking it, condoning this, that women want to be raped, that women get off on this. And this is the message in pornography, the lie about women, the dangerous, dangerous lie. This should be censored. And also child pornography should be censored. That's our view. For the respect to a lot of the rest of it, we would like to... dialogue on it. We want education to change some attitudes. We want to talk about stereotyping and the terrible effect it has, and we want to show that we wouldn't get the same kind of complaints from people were we talking about blacks again, saying, look, we don't want to be called boy, we don't want to be called nigger, you know, but women say we don't want to be called chicks, we don't want to be called bunnies, we don't want to be called pets anymore, you know. Then they say, well, you're just a prude, or you're really uptight, or you're interfering with our freedom, you know. I think we have to look at that as what we're saying.
Let's give the caller the last word. Go ahead, Bob.
I think that's just ludicrous in itself. I think you're clouding the issue. No, you keep drawing, and women's groups such as yours tend to draw in other fights that have gone on in the past, like the racial situation. I don't think that you can possibly believe that that this population in this country believes all the things that women get off on this or get off on that. If that happens to exist in a magazine, you certainly don't. Who believes this garbage? I mean, who really believes that? Do you believe that this is the male population, the way we think? We don't think like that at all. I think you've got to come down to earth and let the balloon land for a little while and realize that you're playing with a very dangerous precedent here when you start messing with censorship and the right of freedom of choice. And that's the most dangerous issue of all. And you're not addressing that at all. You have a callous disregard for the freedom of choice in this country, and you're using this banner to get your point across. Where is it going to end?
Okay, I'm going to let her respond to that because you have some harsh things, Bob, and I'll thank you for the call.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Well, let me say that when 1 in 17 women are going to be raped in Canada, when 25% of women, girls under the age of 13, will be molested by usually someone they know, and when we've got the Canadian statistics being at least 1 out of 10 relationships in every year, the woman will be battered, let's talk about that as a real reality.
Well, let me ask you, how do you think the situation would be improved through censorship? What specifically should be censored? Who sets the guidelines? Mm-hmm. Who decides? Whose opinion is to be regarded above the opinion of others?
Can we catch the answer when we come back?
Certainly.
We'll be back in a moment. The question was, what can be achieved, Dr. Hutchinson, in terms of censorship or regulation of material pornographic?
Mm-hmm. Okay, there already is censorship. Let's not forget that. What we argue against is the way that the censorship is going on now. There seems to be an incredible emphasis in the law on the portrayal of explicit sex, that's the issue. We are not against portrayals of consensual sexuality. I mean, women and feminists have worked for sex education materials and for the, you know, against those kinds of things. What we are talking about is that we want what is happening now to change, that they are looking more at the violence aspect, and they're looking more at the at children in these films, and you're looking more at the degradation aspect, not explicit sex going on. When one looks at the things that have gone through the court and the types of material that haven't been deemed obscene, it's incredible.
Are you saying then that violence without sex is acceptable, but violence with sex is not?
Well, my major concern is what's happening now, and that most of the violence done in films, on television, anywhere, is against women, and increasingly children.
I agree.
We are the victims of all of this. And what, you know what, it's an interesting point, and what we need to work on more, is that when they've researched men, they find that when men see violent films where women are the target, they see them as sexual, even if there's nothing sexual in it. They can't.
It's not unusual for a man to relate to a woman on a sexual basis. I mean, that is a basic distinction between the two sexes.
Okay, they wouldn't see... Yeah, there's a lot of that, right? But what I'm saying is they see something that's supposed to be purely violent, and they see it in sexual terms. They see it as a sexual interaction. So we have a lot of difficulties going on. What we have in men's sexuality is an increasing combination of violence and sex, and that is, of course, detrimental for any relationships between men and women. And it is going to increase the difficulties between the sexes.
Where is this increasing violence coming from? That is not what I've researched. That's not what I found. I found that the adult film industry, for example, is moving far away from that, primarily because, and this is in the United States, not in Canada, because they don't have as much censorship in the United States, because the audiences of this stuff are becoming more and more female. 40% are some pay TV surveys have revealed that 40% of the audiences of, and we're not talking Playboy entertainment, we're talking hardcore sex, is female. And of course, but when you advocate censorship, you're advocating leaving everything as it is. There will never become an improvement in this. You know, one of the things, I hear a lot of talk about distinguishing between erotica and porn and having a good and open relationship being depicted in this type of material.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact is, a good, honest, open sexual relationship is, according to all obscenity standards, obscene because it's explicit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually are advocating censorship, you are promoting deviations away from normal sexual activity. When you can't show something explicit, don't be surprised when they start going to other avenues to get that level of attention.
As I just said, we are not happy with the way the patriarchy has developed laws on obscenity, and the way they are interpreted are not in our best interest. So I perfectly well agree with you that part of what we have to do is push for a change in the way the law is interpreted.
We have to break, and we'll be back with more callers. Good morning, Wayne McLean. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
I've got mixed feelings on this. I have never opened a Playboy magazine in my whole life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I do have three children, two teenagers, and one of 11. I do feel that I would like to make a little hole in the ground, get a German Shepherd, and live there, because I certainly don't like to really see what I'm seeing in this world today. And it's a pity, because if people looked around them and looked at nature, it's beautiful, but it's men that's spoiling it. I would like to direct my question to Dr. Hutchison. I feel this way, that woman was the one, first one who sinned in this world, and I feel personally, as a woman myself, and I'm really proud to be a woman, but the thing is, women do provoke men. And I really think, and truly, that since this woman's lib came in, that it has spoilt everyone. Our men have been demeaned, and the women are trying to take over the rules of the men. I am very, very angry, and I don't want to say any more. Thank you.
Well, can you give her a chance to respond to your points, caller?
Okay.
Okay, Dr. Hutchison.
Well, there's so many points to respond to there. I think what's very interesting about what this caller said is that she's really picked up the attitudes that the culture has wanted people to pick up, that it's women who are evil and women who've caused all the problems in society, and that men have had no part in it. And all that women who are fighting for women's rights are doing are trying to make a decent culture that we can live in together. and respect each other. That's all that we've been working for and struggling for so many years. And, you know, it's just so interesting, this kind of attitude that we're the ones that have destroyed things and you know, interfered with humanity when it just isn't the
case. But once again, aren't you supporting this woman's point of view by advocating censorship? Aren't you saying that because men are not responsible for themselves, that we have to censor, for example, pornography, since they can't control themselves? You are just as much upholding her point of view as she is, and it's the same thing. You know, women are the primary victims of all laws that have ever been aimed at suppressing sexual activities.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in prostitution, strippers, or pornography, women are the victims of such laws. For a member of a group that supposedly represents the status of women, I find this somewhat appalling, that you would advocate something that would put women in that position. Maybe you don't regard that portion of the female society of women.
Absolutely, we do, and that's a pretty underhanded statement. The response I would make to that is, yes, we've always said if men will interpret the laws, they will interpret them against women, and they will say, yes, the prostitutes should be the ones that are fined, and the strippers. No, we don't say that, and we've always come out and said, that is not the issue, and that is not who should be fined.
Who should
be
fined?
It is the men who go to prostitutes, or
so
at least when the pimps behind them and the people making the big money, because it's not the prostitutes making the big money in the main.
Thank you, caller.
You know, that's...
Bye-bye. 433-3121. We have to continue along here. Lots of people waiting. Hi, Jim. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Well, I listened to the opening remarks with some interest and some sympathy for both sides, though I find myself pretty much on Dr. Hutchison's side in this. What it seems to me is that we have a case of strongly conflicting rights. On the one hand, rights to liberty, which Mr. Metz is trying to defend, and those of equality, which Dr. Hutchison is defending.
How do you define the right to equality, sir?
Well, this is the right to, in simple terms, it just means being able to walk freely at night, to be free of harm, and not...
That's the right to equality? How does that make one equal?
Yes, well, it makes one equal in the sense that one's rights are being violated by...
So are you suggesting then that if you read pornography, you are violating someone's right?
Yes, I do believe there is a connection. And
what is that connection?
Just a minute now. The connection is that pornography promotes a certain attitude towards women, and that it leads to behavior on the part of certain people which is highly detrimental to women. And in that sense, it clearly...
Okay, caller, Jim, let me ask you this. If all of this pornography is banned or put in the garbage or whatever, do you think that this violence against women or this attitude will be greatly diminished?
Yes, I do. I'm quite convinced that it will be considerably diminished.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your call this morning.
There are a couple of other things.
Okay, please be brief.
I did want to add. There are, in fact, a couple of red herrings. The first one was the opening remarks on art. Art has absolutely nothing to do with this issue. Even if these magazines were incredibly artistic,
mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the moral issue. The Nazis, for instance, may have produced extremely fine lampshades, but that certainly wouldn't for a minute justify murdering human beings for the production of lampshades. And secondly, Mr. Metz remarked that in the case of the production of most pornography, women are not forced to participate. Kids perhaps are. It's quite illegal to produce kiddie porn because children are being forced to make this stuff. But women who are quite willing to pose for pictures and whatnot, in fact, are willing participants, and there should be nothing illegal about that. The trouble is that all women become the victims of this, and so in a sense, all women are forced to participate in pornography. Because even the woman who shuns all pornography and all interest in it and so on can still be the victim of rape.
I'm sorry, sir, I cannot see the connection. When someone makes a statement like that, to me, I just hear a statement being made right out of the blue sky. Where is the connection? How are other people forced to participate? There seems to be perhaps a lack of definition here on what force is and what it implies. No one is forced to be party to anything that they do not want to be, at least legally. I see Dr. Hutchison smiling here in front of me. Perhaps she might like to enlighten us on what she defines.
Well, the first thing that jumped right to my mind was that rape in marriage was only this year deemed to be illegal. So lots
and
of courts went
mean?
On. Pardon?
What does that mean? That we've had an injustice in our legal system up till now, which has been corrected.
It has no correlation
to this issue.
You know, it's ludicrous to say that all of us are not affected by propaganda. I mean, you would never say that during the time of, let's go back and let's use it again. You'd never say that with the Nazis coming out with propaganda against Jews. You would never say that had no effect on the Jewish population.
This is
propaganda. Pornography is propaganda. It sells lies against women, stereotypes about women, calls women particular names, points out who are the enemy, which have become feminists at this date, calls upon evidence of experts, all stuff that's involved in propaganda. This is hate literature.
This is interesting.
I'll have to leave it there, though, folks. We have messages. Jim, thank you for the call. Jim?
Yes.
Thank you for your call, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 9 minutes to go before 11 here at CFPL, 433-3121. Monday morning, Cliff Pilkey will be our guest. He is the president of the Ontario Federation of Labor. We're looking forward to that. Next Friday morning, the president of the Treasury Board, Herb Gray. All coming up next week. Right now, we continue to talk about pornography in our society when we return. Good morning, Marilyn, and thank you for your patience. Go right ahead, please.
Thank you, Wayne. I have, first of all, a question for Mr. Metz, and then a general comment from which I would like a response from both speakers.
Okay.
My question for Mr. Metz is, you mentioned that there is research that shows that a large proportion of pornography is not violent, and I wondered if you could cite some authors and titles of this research. I would be interested in checking it out.
Well, individually, I went to a number of sources. I don't have them. I don't have some of the names with me right now, as far as who the sources are. But invariably, the best that I have seen come up in terms of results of studies is no result at all. They cannot prove or disprove any connection between violence and pornography, or the exposure of it to it. You know, there's a thing here. I do not deny that everything that affects us influences us in some way. Everything we see, everything we hear, but it is up to the individual as to how that person is affected. For example, some people who view violence are turned off by it and are actually shun away from it rather than being attracted to it. The person who's attracted to violence, I cannot believe that a person will just come cold upon a violent portrayal and then suddenly find it quite attractive.
Well, it seems to me that you might be contradicting yourself, because on the one hand, what you're saying is the research shows that pornography doesn't have this kind of violent effect that we're worried about, but on the other hand, now you actually...
Well, there's no proof of it.
Now you're actually arguing in favor of it on the grounds that you think it'll have beneficial effects. Either you're interested in effects or you're not.
I don't know where I said that it would have beneficial effect.
You said that it might turn some people off.
Well, that's not neither beneficial nor hazardous. That's simply a reaction that a person may have. I'm saying that people are capable enough to exercise their own volition to understand the difference between various forms of portrayals. I've seen a lot of violence, most of it on TV, never in pornography, and it has never affected me in any manner, whether it was directed at women or not, where I found that attractive. I keep away from that kind of thing. I do not like violence any more than I believe Dr. Hutchison does.
Well, I think that's very commendable on your part, but the point doesn't happen to concern you alone. The thing is that if there were somebody out there who were affected to produce violent behavior as a result of pornography, it wouldn't just be that person's own individual rights that it would be my right to be protected against violent behavior on the part of that person.
Right, on the part of that person.
That's right.
That's right. You cannot go and protect yourself from everyone else and shut yourself away. You cannot deny everyone else's freedom who knows how to exercise it. Because some people cannot handle it. You know, there are other things in society that can drive people to violence. If you want to see where most of the violence in society occurs, it's in the family. You know, should we therefore ban families? Should we therefore ban certain relationships? Where do you see, you know, you can't, once you set that precedent, once you say that I can ban this for this purpose, we're going to be in a situation where, as in Sweden, children cannot watch E.T. because of the supposed effects that psychologists say it has towards their attitudes, towards their parents. Where is the line? Where do you think the line should be drawn?
Marilyn, you have a general comment, and I'm going to ask you to be brief with it, okay?
Yes, the other side of the issue of individual rights is individual responsibility.
Absolutely.
And I'm concerned that people who are arguing about rights are really only interested, they only promote the idea that their own freedoms are the important thing of concern, and they don't seem to promote the idea that they also have responsibilities to think about the impact of their behavior on others. The pornographic and so-called erotic material, the milder material that's supposed to be attributed to Playboy, all of it contributes to a general view of women as sex objects, a view that disregards women's own point of view. It's male-oriented erotic material that leads to a view that women's point of view, women's own subjective experience can be disregarded in the materials that are produced in this culture, whether those materials are called art or just called newsstand publications.
Marilyn, we'll have to leave it there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your input this morning. Bye-bye. 2 minutes to go before noontime. We'll be right back.
No one have a choice who's been a victim her whole life.
Yeah, we're just talking. Let me delete the comment. We're back on, okay? But the point here that maybe we can get at into the next hour is the question of consent in terms of the people who engage in the activity. And maybe you have a thought on that, but we will find out when we come back. Our telephone number is 433-3121. We have a line open. Our caller's on hold. We thank you for your patience. As you continue, you'll be able to hear the program as you wait. 433-3121. This is 980 CFPL. And from the Information Center, here's Gary Ennett.
Good morning. We're up to 8 degrees in Midtown London. Sexist advertising could prove to be costly if a new bill is passed in France. Joan Shore reports from Paris.
France is famed for its glorification of women in art, in literature, in the flesh, and more recently in the media. But often it's at the expense of women, and that's where French feminists are stepping in. A new bill has been introduced to the government that would ban sexism in newspapers and magazines, on radio and television, and in textbooks and advertising. The bill's author is Yvette Roudy, the Minister of Women's Rights, which is the only cabinet post of its kind in the world. Madame Roudy says the bill is modeled after France's anti-racist law of 1972. It would impose prison terms of up to 1 year and or fines of up to $44,000 on anyone presenting images of women that were considered noxious, that encouraged discrimination, hatred, violence, or insult. Joan Shore, CBS News, Paris.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back. This is hour number two. Wade McLean here. We're delighted to have with us, first of all, Dr. Gail Hutchinson, who is with the University of Western Ontario in the Department of Counseling and Career Development. She is also a past president of the London Status of Women Action Group. Robert Metz is here. He is with the UN party. He is president of the Writing Association in London. It is a party that supports individual rights and a free economy. And the question today, is pornography a dangerous influence in our society? 433-3121 is the number to reach us. We have lots of people on the lines waiting. We thank you for your patience. Go ahead, please, caller.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I just want to mention I prefer to remain anonymous.
Sure, that's fine.
In this call, because of the number of attacks that women who are speaking out on this issue are receiving lately in the form of hate mail, threatening phone calls. I think it's kind of indicative of how people are reacting to this. And brings it up. First of all, I'd like to ask him why he belongs to an UN party if he is an individual. And also, I'd like to just mention that men are reacting as a group in regards to this issue, and I think that's quite interesting as well. The reason that women are reacting as a group to this is because there is a consistent stereotype in these magazines what women are, and that is that we like to be sexually violated by men. By violate, I mean the use of power against women, that we like to have force used against us. That is a stereotype that is everywhere in the magazines, in advertising, and that's why...
Is it any different from the stereotype of the porn audience that the women's groups are depicting?
Well, I think there is a definite group, and I'll get to that. I think that the way, as I mentioned, men are reacting, the way that men are in our society, you seem yourself, and I believe Mark Emery, someone you're associated with, has a hard time with women making the claim that men are violent in general, that men are have an unhealthy attitude towards sex.
Do you believe that's the case, caller, that men in general are violent and have unhealthy attitudes?
I think there's a large proportion. We're looking at a very large number of rape incidents in our society, of wife battering cases, of incest, of rape in marriage, and to say that there aren't a large group of men doing that is to totally you know, not to acknowledge the figures that are there. I want to make a point about censorship. I think that consistently people are trying to keep women quiet about saying anything about the level of violence in our society, as Mr. Metz and his friends have consistently tried to do, and have tried to keep women from talking about their own accounts of what rape does.
How have I attempted to stop anyone from trying to express their point of view? I'm here to specifically defend that right.
Can I continue?
Well, I'd like to address the issue.
I'm sure you'll get a chance to respond. Nobody wants to believe when women talk about the experiences and what it means to them, what their own sexuality is. Nobody wants to let us speak about it, and that is censorship. And also when researchers, as Ed Donnerstein, tried to make the connection between pornography and violence, nobody wants that information to be allowed out. Nobody wants to believe it.
That's not true, caller, and I take exception to your comments, because one of the purposes of our program today is to allow callers, women and men, to express points of view about their sexuality and their particular feelings with respect to the issue. And as far as the research that you refer to, Dr. Hutchinson has commented on it, albeit briefly, and there is no attempt by anybody, and particularly me.
Caller,
you're saying nothing is allowed, and I take exception to that. It's not true.
Okay, and I think that the point you're missing is that our media and our journals and everything else is controlled by men at this point. We have
excuse me. Media and journals are private property that are owned by individuals or corporations. When the London Free Press or CFPL Radio refuses to put your call on or some of your comments, that is not censorship. That is them exercising their right to their press. If I disagree with you, that's not censorship. I have the right to disagree with you. Censorship is only possible by an agency of government. That is the definition of the word, and to use it in any other context is very misleading.
I'd like to briefly close up, and just in response to that, I think you're being quite naive about the kinds of censorship that's taking place without your knowledge. I think as a man, I think I would be really ashamed to be part of a group that's upholding this kind of activity. I think men should be more concerned about other things going on in this society, and I think we've also seen what men's freedom of expression has led to.
And what has it led to?
It's led to a society that has an incredibly high level of violence. It's led to a society where there is an enormous abuse of power.
You see, you're equating violence with a freedom of expression. Those two things are opposite concepts.
And also, we also see a very unhealthy view. Men have a very unhealthy view of their own sexuality and of women's sexuality, and that's what this issue is all about.
You don't think you may be being a bit overgeneralized?
As I say, we have to look at the levels of violence and what women are reporting about what's happening in their own lives and about the kinds of rapes that take place and just basically what it's like to be a woman to walk down the street and meet men and you know, what kind of interaction takes place.
Okay, thank you for your points, caller.
Thank you.
I think I think the part that makes it very difficult for men and women to talk about this issue is the fact that it's hard to get in someone else's shoes. And it's hard to have a calm, reasoned argument and discussion on it. It is very difficult for most men, no matter how understanding they are, to realize what it is like to not be able to walk down the street at night. And they look at me and say, well, yeah, but, you know, men can be mugged. It is not the same thing. And
you
always,
but don't men and women feel something similar to that, Dr.
Hutchinson,
in New York City, for instance, or years ago in Detroit?
Mm-hmm.
The feeling I get is that men have it pretty easy and don't have to worry about a darn thing.
That's always the response we get, and that's why we get in trouble, because I don't know what it is that I'm saying that gets men so upset when I say that. That is a reality for women. I'm trying to explain a reality.
For all women or for a minority?
Rape is a method to keep all women in control. Pornography is about as much about sex as is rape. Rape is about power. It is about domination,
humiliation. I agree with you in that point.
So is pornography. And it is the propaganda, and it's part of a propaganda that goes along with rape. The two are intertwined.
What is the purpose of this propaganda? The purpose of the propaganda is power.
Purpose of propaganda has always been power. And why propaganda is escalating at this point, pornographic propaganda, is because women are getting more rights, and that is threatening the system. And I think we have to be reasonable with each other and talk about this rather than having men so threatened whenever I say it.
Let's talk
I know
about
that
propaganda
it's difficult.
And power.
I want to tell you I'm not threatened.
Okay, every time I say men, you know, individual men may not be particularly threatened by that point. In general, the kind of response we get, and as that caller said, the hate response, the kind of calls I get, you know, as a respect.
Do this job for a week and see what kind of hate.
But that kind of. Okay. Or even trying to deny the fact that women are the victims of violence in this culture, that women are more the victims of the sexism in this culture, is really ludicrous. Quite frankly.
I'm
not saying that men do not suffer. We have been saying that from the beginning, that we can all be more fully human and more fully involved in our experience in life if we would work together on this. We do not see the same kind of involvement from men, frankly.
If I may make a comment here on the issue of propaganda and power, that is exactly what your group is attempting to do. I don't know whether you've noticed it, but the propaganda that your group puts forth is a propaganda of violence. It's not just pornography that you see violence in, and I have seen letters to the editor written by people from your group. I've seen comments in the newspaper, which I have some here. For example, government cutbacks in the public sector, how do they term that? An attack on women, because women are supposedly, there are more women in the public sector than men. When Canada pension benefits are not paid to housewives, what is that called? That's holding women hostage, according to members of your group. You consider abortion laws to be a direct attack against women by men. And again, that same propaganda, which you need, you must have that propaganda in order to get what you want, government intervention.
Yeah, but you have propaganda too, though. You have propaganda too.
Well,
everybody has propaganda in one form or another. The thing that I wonder about is specifically how is certain propaganda used for power or dominance by one group over another?
Correct. Now, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. If you're saying I have propaganda, in what way am I expressing it so that I want to have that exercise of power over other? That is the one thing that, for example, our political party is totally opposed to. We think the purpose of government is to protect free choice, not to restrict it. It's there to prevent people from ruling each other, not to rule them.
4333121 is the number. Callers waiting. We'll return to those folks after these.
Wayne McLean, the telephone, and you. Get involved. The number is 4333121.
18 minutes after 11, Dr. Gail Hutchison with me, along with Robert Metz, as we talk about the issue of pornography, and we'll return to our calls now. This is Ron. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
To your guest, I must, as a man, agree with Dr. Hutchison 100%. I feel that men are basically violent in some circumstances. Take a pimp who has a stable of women. If one of them turn against them, see how violent that man can be. It's all in the name of big money. Pornography is in the name of big money that they will take these girls. I suppose this morning I could walk downtown, and if I had a good dollar and offer girls to take their clothes off, I was going to produce a book, I think that they would do it. I believe we should.
But is the fault with men, Ron, or is the fault with women, or fault with both parties in that arrangement? I mean, do we blame Hugh Hefner as well as the Playmate of the Month?
Yes, I do. I blame if Hefner wasn't there, if he wasn't promoting this thing, wasn't offering the girls the big money, then they would not be there. Yesterday morning, Phil Donahue had a program along the same line as what you're saying. And invariably, the girls that he had on there, I think she was a police officer with the Oakland Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
The money that attracted her, she got a tremendous sum. But behind this was a man promoting it. Our Miss Universe program, a pageant, a man is promoting it, big money. Take away the money and see whether or not you have these people.
All right, but the thing I'm wondering about, sir, is with Dr. Hutchinson's group and the protests, and certainly they have the inalienable right to do that, but why aren't we protesting specifically against the women who participate in these magazines? Why don't we protest against...
You want to victimize them twice, do you?
Well, it's not a question of victimizing. It's a question of they willingly, in many cases, seem to be doing this.
Who's trying to attach blame? Why does the issue always come up with blame? We say that what's going on is abhorrent to us and interferes with our freedom. Why do we have to attach who's the fault of this? We know that the sexist culture is the fault of this, okay? So why do we have to say, well, is it the men? Is it the women? Who should we attack? Well, that just isn't the issue. I mean,
but,
it's a sideline.
But your group does attack the first choice people.
The people that are producing it. Well, what would you like us to do?
I'm not liking you to do one thing or another. I'm just suggesting
there is
a mutuality here, Doctor.
No, I don't like the issue of sort of who's to blame. Of course, we're going to go out and protest the people that are going to be putting it on and making the money off it. Okay?
But do you consider protest the women who do it?
Of course we consider the women who do it. Of course we do. We like to know all the reasons that they're there. We know that some of them are there for the money like anyone else. We know some of them are there for some pretty horrible reasons.
Ron, go ahead.
All right. Michelle Landsberg, she writes in the Toronto Star, a woman. And she claims that, who said all women are bad? She says nature intended women to be our slaves. They are our property, just as a tree that bears fruit belongs to a gardener. What a mad idea to demand equality for women. Women are nothing but machines for producing children.
Okay, this is a woman saying this?
That's a woman saying that. She says 14 different things. Religiously.
Oh, is she saying that as her own view, or is she saying that as this is what is in her view?
Yes.
Okay, I understand.
What she's saying with a tongue-in-cheek, I suppose.
Okay, yeah.
I believe that the women are being exploited because of big money. I think
Ron, you opened your comment by saying that you think all men are violent. Are you?
I think I would be if I had a stable of women working for me and one of them turned against me. I think I could be violent.
If you had a stable of women and one of them turned against you...
He's referring to that that man who is a pimp. That's what he's referring to.
A man who's a pimp.
That's right.
Well, you see, a pimp is created by laws that make prostitution illegal because the prostitutes are therefore denied the right to legal protection.
I don't think a prostitute can operate without a pimp. I don't think she could be in a position whereby that she could be financially...
In other words, she has to have a marketing manager of some sort.
That's exactly it.
But that's a different relationship.
Why is it?
Well, on one has to operate outside the law, whereas the one can operate with the law and with full protection of the law.
How does your own party... how are you going to justify it in your own party? I've attended your meetings.
Justify which?
That working without outside the law as far as a prostitute and a pimp is concerned, then.
I'm not quite sure. How do I justify working outside the law?
That's right, you're unpardoned.
Well, I don't. I don't think they should be forced to work outside the law. Half the problems that are attributed to sexual crimes are because they exist outside the law.
But you, in the unparty, would allow that pimp to operate because he has a freedom of what he wants to do. You would do away with the law.
And what do you think, why do you think that person should not be free to operate if he has the voluntary consent and cooperation of the people with whom he works?
Because he's taking that woman and exploiting her.
Oh, he's exploiting her.
Sure he is.
She's not, there's no way you could ever entertain the notion that she might be exploiting him and her customers for personal gain.
Not in this culture, no.
Not in this culture.
Not in this culture.
Thank you, sir.
In our culture, they have to have the man... pimping them. That's the only way they can operate. He has to exploit that woman in order to get the big money.
Thank you for your comments, Ron. Bye-bye, sir. 433-3121. 1126, this is 980. We return to our calls. Hi, Sid. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, sir.
That was a good program. Thank God for Adam and Eve. on censorship, I don't think there should be any censorship to the point of the adult. Where I feel there should be censorship or should not be any pornographic or any type of that sort of thing is with the teenage, you know, 18 and under, et cetera, et cetera. But they always sneak them in somehow. They sneak them in through the border. In Canada, they haven't got it so much as they have in the States, but I don't agree that children should be exploited. What if a grown female adult does pertaining to taking the picture, putting the centerfold and penthouse, et cetera, she's a 21-year-old lady. She knows what she's doing, and she's only doing it for one reason, and one reason only, and that's for the big dollar. Your last caller stole my line.
Well, I object to what you're saying, that the only reason women do it for the big dollar, that is certainly one reason, economics, and isn't that horrible that we have another system that the way that women earn money is by exploiting their own sexuality and interfering with their own freedoms, in a sense, and with the freedoms of others, having to be collaborators, in a sense, in a real sexist system. You know, that's the one part of it. The other part of it, we have a whole culture that says the way that women will earn a living and can be valued in our culture is to objectify themselves, is to be seen as sex objects. That is a part of what culture says to women. And one of the most horrible things about all this is that women buy that.
Don't women
see themselves in that form.
But don't
you know, just like the, you know, the black saw himself as a nigger, or the women black saw. You know, you buy that, you take that in as yourself, and you act that out. Now, the other part of it is, though, that many of these women, there's a lot of research to show that they have been victims throughout their life. Many of them have been molested when they were younger, were victimized in some form, and they continue to act out the role of victim. There's a third group that have no choice. Once you're in pornography, you don't get out.
The
men that control them that make sure they
don't
get out.
There are magazines that exploit men in the same way.
Sure they exploit men the same way.
Is that not correct?
Sure.
Like not in the same way. It could never be in the same way within the culture that we live in. And there is not a $7 billion pornographic industry with men in it. You know, there are some homosexual magazines, but they're very small percentage, and it is men
what about
involved
the
with
numbers
men,
of women, however few or many,
yeah.
that read Playgirl magazine?
Very, very small percentage of the population. And if you look at those magazines, a very small part of it are nude men, and they're not in the same postures, or there's not the same rhetoric behind it, and it never can be the same thing anyway. Men are never going to fear rape. Men are never going to fear the violence of women the way that women will. So it can never be the same thing. Within a male sexist culture, you can never have the same kind of, you know, propaganda. If the Jews started making propaganda about the Nazis, I mean, it really wouldn't work, would it?
Men in prison, though, some men feel the presence of rape.
Sure, okay, so fight against it. I mean, I'm against any kind of material that will instigate violence. And, you know, it's very interesting that Mr. Metz says there's no evidence that violent pornography leads to aggression, because there has been evidence over 10 years of very good research that is showing that by people who didn't want it to show that. You know,
How do you define that aggression? As violent aggression or sexual aggression? Or?
As aggression. They will aggress more against a woman after they have seen pornographic violence.
Sid, I know you've been trying to get in here, so go ahead.
I disagree with her on one point. She says a male never gets raped.
Okay,
That is not true.
They do not fear rape from women. That's what I said. Men do rape other men, yes. Men do use other men in the same way that they use women, not anywhere near the same extent. And if they did, it would be viewed with such horror as to bring down the sky, right?
It has happened.
I never said it didn't happen. I said that women do not rape men.
I just said it has happened.
Well, biologically,
okay, sir, one last point.
Happen.
One last point. We have to go to other callers. Go ahead.
All right. I disagree on children being used.
Okay, sir.
That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Sid. Glad you called today. Bye-bye. It's 11:30 here at 980 CFPL, 433-3121. Are we back on now? We're continuing to discuss all of this while the commercials are on, and some of the things that we discuss should get over for you to hear as well. 433-3121 is the number. Here we go again. Good morning. Thank you for waiting.
Yes. I'd like to make a complaint about Mrs. Hutchison, what she has to say about males. It seems to be like there's some reverse discrimination working here. You know, I've heard comments by feminists saying that all men are potential rapists. And that's very sexist, in my view, because, all males are violent, this sort of attitude. And it's just like a reverse discrimination. I believe that if these people are going to say it, they don't realize repercussions from all sweeping statement like that. If a male says something about a woman, like if I were to say, all women like to be sex kittens, that would...
They do. What else does pornography say, sir, except that all women wish to be sex kittens, all women are objects, all women like to be submissive, all women like violence, you know? We certainly do not believe that every man is violent, but certainly most of the violence done in this culture is by men against women and against children. And that is a fact that I think men have to work more on and work with us on as to why is that happening and what can we do about it.
But
rather than turning against us even more and saying, hey, that's not me. Yeah, but it's your neighbor if it's
But
not
in
you.
One of your meetings, you wouldn't even allow men to attend a seminar.
Yes, I...
One of my meetings?
Well, one of the meetings, I believe it was in London a few weeks ago.
I think it was in Toronto.
Just a minute.
The reason that the men were allowed to come and listen to the discussion, they didn't want them in the workshops because what tends to happen is that men dominate all those discussions and the women are not able to get their points of view across.
Okay, this was a conference on pornography in Toronto.
They wanted to have a chance for women to discuss the issue with themselves, which is legitimate. Well, and they said if men wish to get together, discuss the issue with themselves, and at some future point, the two sexes could get together. That was all that was about. Because what tends to happen every time there's a discussion, say not a love story shown, the men dominate it and their own emotionality about it and fear about it and fear about what's going to happen as a result of this, they just take over. It's just, and the women never get a chance
to speak. But maybe they're trying to set some of the myths straight, if there are indeed any myths.
They get very defensive is what happens, and that dominates the discussion, and the women are not, women do not speak up for, I mean, they fall into the stereotypes that it you know, you don't speak up. I mean, it's harder anyway when men are there. There's a lot of evidence for that. So that was all that was about, but that wasn't our group anyway.
Caller?
Yes, but you seem to, the biggest thing I seem to see in this is that it is reverse discrimination.
Well, what do you mean by that then?
Okay, all men are labeled as potential rapists. All men are labeled as being potentially violent. I feel if that statement were made, as against women.
But it is made against women, as I already pointed out. And I already pointed out that no, not every man is violent, but the majority of violence is done by men. Now that those are facts, sir.
And that's in terms of not only in sexual assault, but
that's
also robberies and
all forms. And I think it is all a part of the way that we raise men in this culture.
That an increase in violence that we're experiencing today in society is also increasing by women.
Very small percentage. I've heard those little things brought out, but I mean, I don't agree with that either. I mean, what happens is, again, it's very small percentage of the violence that is happening by women.
But can't it be argued that a very small percentage of men, maybe there's more men than women that do it, but as a total percentage of men.
No.
See, I, for example, have never committed a violent act in my life.
That's very
commendable, as I said. The people I hang around with don't either.
Nobody said you did. But the fact is, it's happening all the time, and who are the victims of it?
Well, you're trying
not
to make me the victim
of it.
You're
running around doing it all.
You're trying to make me responsible for that action. You are avoiding the very important principle of making an individual responsible.
I would like all men to be responsible for what's happening. You're absolutely right. I want them to take on the responsibility of it and be involved in helping to change it. The culture we're in formulates these attitudes and is continuing to formulate these attitudes in the children that are being raised now. And yes, I want all men to take responsibility for doing something about that, speaking out about it, looking into the reasons behind it along with us. I do not see that happening.
Well,
I see us having to do it alone and fighting it alone.
Stay with us. We'll be back.
First of all, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
I find that the London status of women, to begin with, is a reactionary and highly emotional group. I find them very, very dangerous as far as I'm concerned. I find what they're advocating, as represented by Dr. Hutchinson, very irrational.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I think Dr. Hutchinson has tunnel vision when it comes to principles, okay? Does she not realize that by her group's advocating censorship, increased censorship, this means that the government then has much more control over individuals? And also, does this not indicate, say, in the future, forced sterilization could occur because of overpopulation, let's just say? And also, millions of books could be burned, films mm-hmm. could be burned. This denies an individual's mind. Does this not...
I think, in all due respect, that you're the one that is overreacting and becoming irrational about the situation.
Oh,
it's very interesting that when women speak out, you know, as a group, that we are called sort of fringe, or that we're overreacting to a situation where we have a $7 billion industry that degrades us and promotes violence against us, and we have a propaganda machine we fight. Now, I do not have tunnel vision. I would have tunnel vision if I didn't look at that and I didn't recognize the effects that had. We are not promoting some gigantic increase in censorship. I have never said that. I said the censorship laws as they are there now are wrongly defined and wrongly used, and we want that changed. We want it changed to look at violence, to look at children in pornography, and to look at the effects of all that. I said that we had hoped some dialogue and some push for re-education and discussion would help with some of the other aspects of pornography. But certainly we should be able to use our laws now to get rid of the type of pornography that promotes violence against women, which is escalating every day.
But again, you're saying you're using laws to advocate.
They are already being used, and they are being used inappropriately at this point.
Just a minute now. There's absolutely nothing wrong in letting the public become aware of all this, but it's when you go to the government that is very, very dangerous.
The government is already involved, as I've said. They are already doing things.
You obviously
yes,
are now complaining about...
Yes, we have to have some laws. We have to have some laws. All I'm saying is that the laws that we have... I mean, do you advocate we don't have laws on rape? We don't have laws on anything? You know, we have to have certain
rape
laws.
Rape is a violation of an individual
and so
right.
And so is pornography. Pornography is
that
a violation of rights.
That what violation? What right is being violated by the existence of pornography?
What pornography
right? How does that affect your freedom of action? How does that affect your freedom of thought?
It affects everything about my freedom and about every woman's freedom. When
well,
you
then,
have
couldn't
a
you equally argue that anything in society could do that?
Propaganda machine, you have an effect on our freedom, and there's no way to deny that.
You
would not deny that if it were about any other group. You would not deny that if you could walk downtown and see stores full of 120 magazines that depicted a particular racial group in submissive postures, liking to be harmed in some form, desiring a master over him. You would not say it did not have any effect. It would be ludicrous. You would not start pulling out the things about censorship and freedom of speech.
Let's give our women. Okay, let's give our caller
sure.
a chance.
Yes, I would just like to say that quite honestly, Dr. Hutchison, I feel very, very strong about this, but I think that you and your group are actually making women victims now. I feel very, very threatened by your group.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think if you would have taken a much more rational approach to this rather than, gathering the park and getting emotional response rather than rational response, it would probably be a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, there's nothing wrong in letting public know exactly what the stats are on pornography. But it's just when you go to the government. See, but by the public becoming aware, then of course they would think twice before they go to buy another Hustler magazine or see another porn film.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
It's when you go to the government, Dr. Hutchison, is when you create a horrible, horrible bill.
Okay, caller, you've made the point several times on the government. I thank you for your call.
Okay.
Okay, appreciate your input.
Hadn't even had their own regulations.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about pay TV and regulations and the Playboy programming, which will be aired tonight at midnight and tomorrow night at midnight. Do you feel that the day will come in the near future where First Choice will say, I mean, people are buying it.
Of course
for whatever reason.
It. Of course, for many, many reasons. I understand that.
Yeah.
But,
well,
you said
many reasons, but throughout the whole program here, you're saying that the only reason is for propaganda aimed against women. You have totally denied that people might possibly buy pornography for something sexual.
Okay. I say pornography has less to do with sex than to do with power. It's very little, just like rape. Now, certainly rape is a sexual act in that a woman is being sexually penetrated, but it is about power and violence and denigration.
Well, perhaps rape,
and that's
yes.
what pornography is about. Pornography is the theory and rape is the practice.
Let's go back to our callers now. Good morning, Jerry. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I got a couple of things I want to say, and Dr. Hutchison, you're very good at interrupting people and voicing your opinion. I appreciate very much if you let me get mine out. There's a couple of things. First of all, being afraid of women. You scare the hell out of me. I'll tell you that right now. I would be terrified being around you. You are a very frightening woman.
Why is it that she's frightening in your view, Jerry?
She has got one-track mind. She has that tunnel vision. I never thought of that word, but that's fantastic. I have thought truck drivers got that, but I guess doctors get it too in some cases. But anyhow... 57 to 64% of all Playboy magazines are bought by women for their husbands, boyfriends, etc. And I have documented proof from Jack Daniels of Playboy Enterprise. I'll give you.
But you're not disagreeing with that, though, are you,
Doctor?
No.
Okay. Now hold it. Just a minute. Women can control men more than men can control women. Men can only control women really by force, where a woman has millions of ways of doing it. I know that myself and probably Wayne and the other fellow sitting there has acted like a jerk because of a girl sometime in their life. I don't know that many women have done that for a man.
Yeah, don't try to ascribe things to me or my guests that aren't true. Tell me one of the ways that women control men.
Okay, if my wife really wants to get a dress or something, she doesn't have to undress or go in bed to me or something like that. She can have certain ways of being nice and saying, gee, I really like this and what have you, and she in turn will probably wind up with the dress.
Yeah.
Now, as far as pornography is concerned, it's been in Canada for years. You talk about women only being this way. I was at a stag party the other day, and I saw two stag films where the guy did absolutely nothing. The woman did everything involved, everything there was to do. She did. He did nothing. So how does that exploit her? She's in control. Now, hold it, please, doctor.
She hasn't said a word, Jerry.
Yeah.
No, I've been waiting since 10 o'clock to talk to you.
No, you haven't. Well, you've only been on the line here about, 20 minutes, so let's be honest.
I've been dialing since
Okay.
Okay, two girls posed for a centerfold. Marilyn Monroe, she did very good in her career. Sophia Loren has done it. Raquel Welch has done it. So they're not in it only for the money. If they get some money and do it properly, they can deploy it into a career. There, unfortunately, everybody puts down Playboy magazine. I've been buying Playboy since day one. I'm one of the few people with the very first Playboy magazine. I found nothing wrong with that. Now, you talk about the Playboy program. Look at the two programs that are on before Playboy, and then you'll think Playboy is the Johnny Carson show, that romance and loving couples, the shaft of life. Now, aren't those great names? They're all nudes. They're all imitated sex. Then you get to Playboy, and it's very, very good. Last comment. How about the great statues of art, the wall of all the pornography positions, and that I think it's in India. I'm not sure. I might be wrong. My mother took a picture of it and brought it home for us on a trip. How about David? You can buy a postcard showing David's privates, period, or his hand, or his head, or his body, or whatever. You can buy just a close-up on his privates only. How about Hercules fighting the demon? He's actually pulling his privates in the fight scene, and the statue is right in Florence. There is more nude statues of men than there is nude women or painters of women. Now, what have you got to say about that?
Well, you've left me a lot of issues to talk about. At first, I think it's really interesting that you talked about the fear that men have that women are going to use power against them. And I really think that is part of all this and part of the use of pornography. Men's fear that somehow we're going to act out what they've been, what they do. I think it's really a projection.
I don't think
to understand projection, what I mean is that you think someone else feels what you in fact feel,
no,
or you feel a threat from someone when really it's you that's the threat.
Doctor,
you know, I think that's a really
interesting
point.
She listened very patiently to you, and you know, you may find it hard, but I'm going to ask you to give her a chance, okay? And then you'll have a chance to have the last word.
Thank you.
Okay.
Again, that is an interesting thing that he brought up. The other thing that he brought up is that in these films, it's women sometimes doing things to men. Of course, doing things to men at men's command. I can only imagine what they're doing in that film. But the fact is, who is watching them? Who are they made for? That's the exploitation that's involved here. What audience and for what reason?
So
for ridicule is a lot of the reason.
Female, it wouldn't be exploitation?
These films are made for men. Whether women watch them or not is secondary. They are made for men. The market is men. And,
that is
a fact.
That is so in the vast majority of cases. Yeah.
There may, in fact, be women that watch them. I don't doubt that. You know, it's happened. But what's
but
that got
do
to do with the
women?
Issue?
How do they fit into your whole scheme of things?
Who is trying to judge something here? I am judging what pornography is
you
and what it does.
You are judging men by saying that they're violent in their nature, that they can't control themselves.
I have said that much of what happens in this culture that's violent happens because men do it. That is the truth.
Let's give our caller here the last word.
I have an acquaintance. No, hell, I have a friend, a very good friend, that goes to stag parties and shows movies. And so far in the last 2 years, he's been to more showers than he's been to stags with the same films. Last, very quickly, I think at anything you should do, Dr. or Mrs. or whatever Hutchison you are, I would get on your bandwagon to put down this kiddie porn, because if you want to...
I am putting it down. You can believe that.
But what I think is maybe that little kid, I think there was a thing on Lou Grant one time about it, that little kid, 5, 6 years old or something.
Very interesting, yeah.
She has absolutely nothing. She does not know what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
What about when she gets to be old enough to know what the hell she did? What's that going to do to her head?
I agree with you totally on that.
I'm behind you there, but I'm against you.
Okay.
Thank you for your call, sir. Bye-bye now. This is Wayne McLean from 980 CFPL. 6 and a half to go before noontime. Let's return quickly. Good morning, Eve, and thank you for waiting.
Good morning. I've got two short points I want to make.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
First of all, I'm a university student, and I really resent not being able to walk down the streets of London after dark, because it just doesn't seem fair that a guy can just go out and not even think about it, and I have to wonder what's going to be happening. And it seems to me that I'm not sure about how direct the connection is between pornography and violence, but I'm sure that something that shows women in such a degrading way cannot really promote my safety. And the fact is that such a movie just doesn't help men to see me as a person who's created equal to them and who is just as much a person and has the same kind of feelings and emotions as they do. And my second point is kind of related, that I just don't see why we have to have pornography because it doesn't improve society, it doesn't benefit society, and why are we trying to see how far we can degrade people and still get away with it? Like, why is this even an issue? Because pornography just doesn't do anything to benefit society, to improve one another.
Comments, guess?
Well, I listened to a statement like that. Again, I don't know where the connection is. You seem to be saying that pornography degrades. In what sense would you say pornography degrades? Is the fact that a woman is depicted in a sexual act with a man and the man is not degraded
no,
for some
not
reason?
It at all.
Is it the fact that it's just the woman, perhaps? Or what is it specifically that you find
degrading?
Should
I give you an example of what one could read in pornography?
Can we see what the caller thinks on the question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Caller?
Okay,
he wants to know where is the degradation.
Okay, well, you look at a magazine, a Playboy, whatever, and it shows, like, that one example that Dr. Hutchison gave about Brooke Shields being strapped naked to a tree or something. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, they're not saying, look at what a wonderful person she is. They're saying, look what a body she has.
Yeah, I think it's Bo Derek, yeah.
You know, they're not showing her as a person. They're just showing her as an object.
As a sex object, correct. I'm not denying that pornography portrays both men and women, if they happen to be in it, as sex objects. But the whole argument about objects, you know, in relationship to any field or endeavor, you are an object. No one ever would dare to ask me that I have to, for example, consider that the person behind the counter at McDonald's who sells me hamburgers, that I have to go and understand this person as a total being. All I'm interested when I go see that person is the fish and chips or hamburger or whatever else I want to buy. These products are selling sex. It's not surprising that the people who are in it are sex objects. That, to me, is a self-evident fact. It's not the basis of an argument against the product.
They're selling a lie about sexuality.
We have messages and we'll be back. You just have a few seconds. I'd like to thank you both, Dr. Dale Hutchison, for being here, Bob Metz for being here. You have something you want to mention.
If you would like to work with the London Women Against Pornography and Violence, you can contact the London Status Women Action Group, or if you're interested in the Canada-wide Coalition Against Pornography, contact us.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Glad to have you. Bob?
Yeah, Wayne, and I would just like to add that anyone who may be interested in discovering a new political alternative is certainly invited to come to our next informational meeting for UnParty, which is April 19th at the Dundas Street Center United Church, corner of Dundas and Maitland.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne.
Good to have you both. We're back Monday at 10:05 with Cliff Pilkey. See you then.